Let us pray. And so, Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for how far you brought us. Even as your word is coming, we pray that your word will come full of power to transform. Father, speak to each and every single one of us in a language we would understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We bless God for today. Luke chapter 14 verse 28 to 32, that was the scripture we used, how to be a strategic man. So we are still looking at the strategic man, right? Yes. But today we are looking at the state of your eyes, the state of your eyes. You know, last week on Wednesday on Tuesday I began to teach concerning vision, right? And I didn't really teach, you know, I didn't go into details concerning that. I want to teach something with regards to that, a little bit of a continuation, right, of that today, right? But looking specifically at the state of your eyes. Is that right? Okay, so that's what we are going to be looking at. But let's do a quick recap with regards to what we looked at last week. Luke chapter 14 verse 28 to 32. Luke chapter 14 verse 28 to 32. So the Bible says that, "For which of you intending to build a tower?" "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish, or who see it begin to mock him, say, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Continue. "Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Next. "Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace." So this is the scripture we are going to use to tease out how to become a strategic man, right? But you realize that the first thing that you see from these verses of scripture is that the strategic man has something, you know, in mind, something that he's seen, that is vision. Are you getting a point? So the Bible says that, "Which of you intending to build a tower?" Then he also talks about a king who intends to go to war. Are you getting a point? So there is something that the person is seeing. You see, this person now intends, is seeing a tower, right? So it's just like the believer who wants to build his life to the place where his life will be a sign and a wonder. The second one is just like the other believer who understands that life is war and is intending to win. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? So there's always something that is set ahead of us. Are you getting it? And I said that if your life is going to make any meaning, if you are going to go any further from where you are now, you would have to understand that the strategic man is a man of vision. Is that all right? Okay. Now, what is vision? What is vision? Vision is the state of being able to see. Vision is the state of being able to what? To see. That's a simple definition, right? The state of being able to see. So if you are able to see, then we can say you have vision. Do you understand that? Is that right? Okay. But there are two main things that are relevant for vision. Two main things that are relevant for vision. Number one, the quality of your eyes, or the state of your eyes. Are you following? Follow me and write notes. The quality or the state of your eyes. And number two, light. Your eye can be good, right? But then because you are seeing in darkness, you will not be able to see. So how many of us are not seeing in darkness? There are many believers that one way or the other, they are seeing. It's not as if they are not seeing, but they are seeing in darkness. And because they are seeing in darkness, they are not really able to see. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Then we have light. So I said the quality of your eyes, right? The quality, how good is your eye? So when you go to the hospital, for instance, they will check your eye and find out, is your eye okay? What is wrong with your eye? Is it long-sightedness? Is it short-sightedness? Is it myopia? What is actually happening to your eyes? Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? So today my focus is on the quality or the state of your eyes. Now, why am I teaching this particular topic? Let's go to Genesis chapter 21, verse number 14 to 20. Let me show you why I'm teaching this topic. Genesis chapter 21, verse 14 to 20. Okay. The Bible says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, follow the story, right? And took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her, that is Hagar, her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar, and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Continue for me. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Right? Continue. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. Continue. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Continue. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Continue. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Verse 20. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Okay, did you follow the story? This is a very interesting story. And it's a story about Hagar. And the Bible talks about how Hagar was actually sacked from the house, right? One way or the other, she was sent away from the house because Sarah became very jealous. I mean, uncomfortable with Hagar. Are you getting the point? Yes. And so Hagar was sent out of the house. And when Hagar was sent out of the house, the Bible says that Abraham gave Hagar water, right? And then gave the boy to her to go. So she went and was, roaming, you see, it was this desert place. And she was roaming and roaming and roaming. And then the water that was given to her had finished. And the water, because had finished, she saw the boy, that this boy was crying. And then she can't see this boy die. So she put the boy somewhere and went a distance. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? So that she will not see the boy die. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, "Hey, Hagar, what is your problem?" This is the angel of the Lord calling from heaven. Are you getting the point? And he's asking a question. "Hey guy, what is your problem?" This evening, the Lord is calling and asking someone here that, "Yabuatma, what is your problem?" The Lord is asking Kezia, "What is your problem?" The Lord is asking Frank, "What is your problem?" See, some of us, you see, what we think is a problem, God is looking at it and asking us, "What is your problem?" This is Hagar looking at a young boy about to die. So God, don't you have eyes? Are you not seeing the predicament I am in? Are you not seeing that it looks as if my life is a messed up life? Are you not seeing that it looks as if things are not going forward for me? And God is asking the question, "What is your problem? What ails you?" Sometimes that is the question God is asking us. We are asking God, "Where are you? Haven't you seen what is happening to me? Haven't you seen that the devil has made a mess out of my life?" And God is asking, "Patrick, what is your problem?" So ask your neighbor, mention someone's name and say, "What is your problem?" Mention someone, say, "What is your problem?" Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Right? So the question is that, what is your problem? And the angel of the Lord is asking that question because of something. Because you see, God is not so wicked to ignore you in your problem. God is not so wicked to ignore you in your situation. Okay, so he asked the question. Then, I'm sure Hagar had rehearsed all that she was going to see. How that this, you are a God, you said you see me, and now I am in trouble, and you are nowhere to be found. This boy you have given me, this gift you have given me is dying, and it looks as if there is no help coming from anywhere. You are the one that said I should go to the university. I didn't plan on going to the university. You are the one that said I should go to the university. Now I am at the university and now this trouble is here. I never said I wanted a relationship. But you are the one that said we should marry. Now I am in a relationship and look at this chaos. Hallelujah. But you see, when you look at the scripture carefully, the Bible says that then the Lord said, "I have heard the voice of the lad, of the baby. If it was your voice, I wouldn't have minded you. But you see, the baby is helpless. So I have heard the voice of the baby." You see, can we be humble as babies? Because it's when sometimes God is coming to solve our problems, he will need us to be humble. You know, many of us, our problem is pride. See, I was telling someone that our inability to ask for help is one classic sign of pride. You know, there are some of us that we can stay in a mess for 5 years 10 years. We can stay in a mess for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and we are still in a mess. Okay. God will help us. Hallelujah. Okay. So, the Bible says that the angels have heard the voice of the Lord. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord did something to Hagar. The Bible says the Lord opened her eyes and she saw water. And she went and fetched the water. And she drank some and gave some to the Lord. Question. How was it possible that there was water but Hagar could not see? Because there was no reference that Hagar moved from that place to another place. The Bible says all that the angel of the Lord did was to open the eyes of Hagar. So the water had been there all this while, but there was no way Hagar was benefiting from it. You know, last week I was teaching on spiritual experiences. And I was saying that it was in response to a question or sort of like a desire that one of us had. And I shared it. I said that this daughter of mine was appreciating, the prophetic word that God used me to give. And then she was praying that the Lord would give her, would give her direction, etc., in her life more and more and all that. And I was trying to bring perspective to how that direction has been coming all this while. But you see, the person didn't have eyes to see. My question is, what are you not seeing? Because you see, we are living in a generation where all of us or most of us are looking for more. And we are ignoring that very thing that God has given us that accounts for our excelling on the earth. You see, sometimes you will pray and fast to the Lord and you are asking for favor. You are asking for, Father, do this miracle in my life. And you see, God will bring an opportunity. You know, some of us will pray, Father, I need money, that you will give me $10,000. And God will bring an opportunity. An opportunity that will give us the privilege of making little by little by little. By the time that the $10,000 is demanded of us, we would have been able to provide. But many of us will not be able to see, just like Hagar. There was a time that I was talking to the Lord about, you know, what God is having for me. How do I connect to the people that He wants me to connect to, etc. And the Lord was saying, listen, you see, I love you too much. So what I did was that I put everything that you will need around you. You don't need to struggle to get what you will need for the next level of your life. But how many of us know that? We are crying for the very things that God has given us because we don't have eyes to see. We don't have eyes so that we can see the very things that God has brought our way. So there are some of you that the answer to that prayer you have been praying for 5 years, 10 years about now is just that young lady that God brought. It's that young man that God brought. But because we don't have eyes to see, all that we saw was someone that was just a friend and we were relating with the person normally and we never had eyes to discern that this person is not an ordinary person. See, you can be at loggerheads with everybody in your life, but there are people you can't be at loggerheads with. You can separate yourself from everybody in your life, but there are some people you cannot separate yourself from if you have eyes to see. But how many of us know that? How many of us missed great opportunities because we didn't value the opportunities that came our way? We were looking for 5,000, so we didn't value that idea that God brought is an idea that could produce 10,000. See, all that we were looking at, our sight was wrong. We couldn't value and discern rightly. So the Bible says, "Know ye no man after the flesh." And especially our ability to discern men, our ability to discern systems that God has brought our way. Do you know that for some of us, all the tears and everything, the struggles we are having in our life is just but KRF.
that God will open your eye to be able to see that this is a solution center, that training, where I want to take you to, it is not a matter of looking for the archbishops. It's not a matter of looking for the great, great, great reverence and mighty apostles. It's just that system that God has brought your way that you can just simply despise. So the Bible says, who has despised the days of small things? You know, the cancer with men is that we despise things that look small. We despise things that, and you see, listen to me, if God wants to help you, he will not bring great things to you. That's not how God raised people. God picks a man. That's why, you know, the woman of God was sharing how that a vision, the God kind of vision, will always be bigger than you. The God kind of vision. It's never going to be a vision that you can do it by your strength. It's never going to be a vision that you can do it by your mind. The God kind of vision is always going to be bigger than you. You know, we started a mentorship program, and then all of a sudden we are already struggling with the mentorship program because some people are just making their work difficult. Someone is taking care of you to ensure that you grow in the Lord, and the person is helping you, calling you, but people will not even pick. So you see, I was thinking about it and I thought that, oh, so this is a mentorship program and already we are struggling with it. Then the Lord, now by I was talking to Ifua, and the Lord began to expand. Then I realized that, so this mentorship program is not just about these people, because God wants us to reach out to other people at different places, because these are the ones that need it. We don't need it. Because you don't need someone to tap you on the back and say, come for kingdom, someone, unless you are blind, unless you cannot see. If at this point you still need someone to pet you at the back and tell you that, come for kingdom, someone, come for kingdom, someone, come for kingdom, someone, then you have no idea what life is about. You see, unless you have not been called through this place, but if you have been, which I believe you have, then God should open your eye to see. You see, many of us, we spend time and energy on things that are minors. And so many of us, our future is just but at the mercy of the devil. See, we go to work and spend energy, exert strength, etc., and all that at these different places. Are you getting the point? And we make sure to invest our resources and time and everything at these places. And when we finish these places, all that they can give us is money. Oh, money is too cheap. But you see, the things that account for our rising. Because having to realize that there were people who were in our universities who had first class, and some of us had jobs, better jobs than they. Some of the opportunities that I have at my job, at my workplace, that is not the opportunity some of my colleagues have. Don't you still understand that it's not by works, it's by grace, that God can pick someone from the dunghill and set him on the rock to stay. But you have the eye to see. How healthy is your eyes? The seeing eye. So do you see? Do you see? That's why we are having this meeting. This particular topic, that's why we are teaching. That God will open your eye to see the things that are around you. The things that you stop valuing. Because some of you wish that a great prophet will call you in front of people and say, I see you, mention your name, mention your telephone number, mention the name of your dog. And when it's done, we'll now tell you that, you see, God says you are going to carry the world. See, that is when you say, amen. Oh, I believe. But every single morning, the Lord comes to you and tells you are great. His mercy is always available for you every morning. The Bible says that his faithfulness, they are new every morning. He's telling you through his word how much he loves you. But you see, you want more. You are not satisfied with that. You want more. You want something extra. You want something spectacular. That is the nature of man that you must kill. See, in my own life, I've seen people who called me and said, "Ha, Jesus. See, the anointing upon your life. Halaka basaka. You are an apostle of God. Because you are an apostle, I'll buy an apostolic book for you." The person bought an apostolic book and gave it to me. There was another person that I saw also that said that, Kabula Sakaya. Hey, listen, this person, it was a seed. I saw the seed. Hi, Kabala Tanya. You are an evangelist. God is going to use you to save the world. Hallelujah. Yes. Listen to me. If you don't know yourself, what will happen is that you'll be confused when everybody is telling you who you are. And that's how some of you are confused. Because someone told you, you are an accountant. Someone told you, you are a lawyer. So you can't seem to see your life apart from law. You can't seem to see your life apart from accountant. You can't seem to see your life apart from being a pharmacist. And you don't know that is a shallow life. That is a shallow life. And that's what the world is trying to do to you. Give you names. Is that not what they did to Daniel and his friends? They named them. They gave them names so that they will forget their identity. So some of you, you just got a job and you've forgotten your identity. Some of you just got an opportunity and you've forgotten your identity. You can't even wake up in the morning and pray again because all of a sudden a name was given to you. That is all it took. They have not even gone to the place of teaching you the language of the Chaldeans yet. It's just the name that changed who you are. So today, God by his mercy is going to open your eyes that you will be able to see. Kemeneme Kaskaya. Oh, great apostle, from whence have you stayed at that workplace for that long, so much so that you have lost the very essence of who you are? Oh, great prophet of God, why are you not prophesying to the nations? Why do you think life is all about money? Oh, great evangelist intercessor, why do you think about the thing that you are going to eat or the thing that you are going to wear? The Bible says, does your heavenly father not know these things? It says, even the best of the air. Your heavenly father, he's not their heavenly father, he's your heavenly father, but he's able to take care of them. How much more you? There are three sets of eyes, because I'm not going to go into them into details, I'm just mentioning them, and then we'll continue. Three sets of eyes that needs to be held in your life. The first set of eyes, the physical eyes. Physical eyes. So this, your physical eyes must be healthy. You must learn how to protect this eye. Do you understand that? Yeah, we are living in a generation where we are having a lot of challenges because we don't know how to protect this eye. But if you want to prevent these eyes from being unhealthy, or if you want to prevent these eyes from decaying or from dying, then we must learn how to protect our eyes. Number two, the eyes of the soul. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this age has blinded their minds. That's the eyes of the soul. See, your soul, you are created just like God. Spirit, soul, body, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So your soul is as potent. It has faculties through which it can relate with the spirit and the body. Then we have spiritual eyes, that your spiritual eyes will be open. When your spiritual eyes is open, you'll be able to see into the spirit realm. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Okay, but that's not my focus this evening, so I will not pay much time there. My focus is on the disease of the eye. Blindness as a disease of the eye. You know, many of us,
Blindness is simply inability to see. Many of us, it's not as if you have not paid attention. You know, when we talk about blindness, it can occur from lack of light. Do you remember I still told you that light, for there to be light, right? For there to be sight or vision, you need light, you need eyes. Are you getting it? As the two main things you need, right? Okay, now what I'm saying is that so there's light, the component of light, right? But then there is the component, and tomorrow God, I'm going to look at the component of light, but there's the component of eyes, the healthy eyes. That healthy, that eye can be blinded. In other words, that eye might not be able to see. See, have you realized that there are blind people who have eyes, physical eyes. It's not closed, it's open, but they are still not able to see. Yes, we have people like that. Now, where does it get to in our lives where we are not able to see? There are some of us that we have allowed that cancer to affect our eyes. One way or the other, we didn't preserve our eyes. One way or the other, we gave our eyes to something we were not supposed to give it to. And that began a blinding process. Because you see, you listen to a motivational speaker that told you that, you know, it's about who you are. All you need is yourself. You can do it. You can do it. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. So do it. Go all out. Go for it. See, so you, all your life, what you are looking for, right, is someone who will tell you you can do it. When you meet a certain pastor, Patrick, who will tell you that John Kwasi Asemna Awudin, that person becomes your enemy. From that time onwards, you and the person has become at loggerheads. Because the person didn't tell you you can do it. You know what happened? You gave your eye to something that began a disease. Some of us, it's not just that. I ever told you about a story of a lady who rejected a proposal from a guy because the person didn't know that. Where did it happen? From the Bible or from where? That before you propose, you must kneel down. Then some of us, they will marry you. Hey, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Oh yeah, there are many things that have crept. See, what these things does when we give our eyes to them is that they cause blindness. Do you understand that? There are things you give your eyes to that will cause blindness. It's not healthy for your eyes because they will educate you on how things are supposed to be. So you will no longer be able to see things as they truly are. So some of us are seeing through a glass dimly. So they taught you that a real man is the one that has 12 packs. If he removes his shirt, you will see 12 packs. You can count the packs. A real man is the man that is thick tall. So I saw this young guy. This guy is short, like Zacchaeus. And all of a sudden, in your mind, you began to rebuke. Ha! This is not for me. Jesus, it cannot be for me. So you see, you are not giving yourself that young guy that probably you are not giving that young guy a chance because Zacchaeus. Meanwhile, it is that young guy that probably is going to be the reason why tomorrow you are going to snap. You know why many people are divorcing? You know, I was talking to Kelvin about 2 or 3 days ago, and he was telling me about divorce, how many people are divorcing nowadays. The reason is because, no, the question is, how? One way or the other, someone told them that look for that man that has money. If the man doesn't have money, don't follow him. And all they went for was money. And they realized that behind the money was also beatings. They didn't see the beatings, they saw the money. And they went for the money. And they encountered beatings. They encountered slapping. They encountered insults. And now they are shocked. Now they want to run. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So there can be a state where there is total blindness. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, verse number 46 to 52. Quickly. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. The Bible says, now they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Continue for me. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Continue. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, some of us must be like Bartimaeus. The Bible says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise up, he is called. You know, this scripture is interesting. The same people that were telling him to keep quiet were the same people that were saying, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Continue. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Continue. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Continue. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Hallelujah. You are lifting up a voice of prayer. Any iota of blindness. Any iota of blindness, any degree of blindness, any attack of blindness that is not allowing you to see that opportunity in that little business, because you started a little business and it looks as if that business is too little. You don't know even how to go about it, how to navigate yourself around it. But that business is the reason why you are going to be seen all over the world, if only your eyes can see. Blind Bartimaeus, today Jesus calls you that you may receive your sight. Can you begin to pray and cry unto the Lord and say, Father, this evening that I may see, begin to pray.